No doubt we've all seen little kids playing. They're so cute to watch and so fun, especially the really, really little ones. And they'll, you know, find a toy and they'll play with it a bit and then they'll put it down and they'll walk away. And then another little one will come up and pick up the same toy. And what happens? The first one, who had no use for it anymore, goes back, mine, mine. And they're, you know, struggling and you watch. This happens, right? Over and over and over. And so whoever ends up with it, you know, they play and the other one's fussing and crying and then the other one will pick up a toy. And then the one who had the first one will go, oh, I want that now. And so then they struggle over that, right? That's the heart of mankind and womankind. That's who we are deep down. That's our natural fallen state. We want something that somebody else has just because they have it. Something we never even knew existed because we see somebody else has it. The new, you know, gadget, whatever. Oh, we've got to have that. We're going on in the seven deadly sins, a victory over the seven deadly sins. And we want to look this morning at envy. Envy. Now, as I said, we are looking at victory over the seven deadly sins. So in all of this, the whole point is to identify the problem, identify the solution, God's solution, the antidote, you might say, to the deadly sin, and then realize we only overcome that sin, we only escape from its deathly grip by running to Christ Jesus. We cannot do it in and of ourselves. It's by God's grace, by His forgiveness, by His rebuilding us and making us new and making us like His Son Jesus. So that's what we're about. So where do we see envy? As we said, you know, it's kind of all over. Envy. Where do we see that in our day? Well, let's think. You ever been in a situation like this? You thought this flavor ice or whatever was real great till you saw somebody with a Jigo ice cream. Or what about that kid who always did better than you in school? She always got the awards. She got the lead play, lead part in the play, even though it was Scrooge and she was a girl. Her dad was on the school board. Anyway, envy. We see it everywhere. Whether it's, you know, schoolgirls who envy each other's popularity, or they envy their good looks or the money or whatever, or whether we see it in guys who desire a spot on the team and they, you know, whoa, well, why this coach? Why are you putting him in? I can do better than that. And we're blinded to their ability and maybe, you know, anyways. We see envy everywhere. We see envy in relationships. It taints our relationships. We want influence over other people that others have, and like, who am I? What's wrong with me? Envy. And we see it on the job. It's not just kids. It goes into the work area, and we desire a position that somebody else has, and we desire the influence that they have. How come everybody likes their ideas? They don't. My ideas are better, like, right? And so we can't get their position. So what do we end up doing? We end up undermining everything they try to do. Well, that's a dumb idea, right? We end up falling into malice and anger against the person envy. We see it all over. We see it in just driving down the road, right? What do we call it now? Road rage, right? Oh, this guy cut me off, and now he's ahead of me. I'm supposed to have that spot, and he's supposed to be behind me. Even though we both get stopped at the light and he's, you know, 20 feet in front of me. But, like, you know, people go crazy over this. And yet, envy in other areas of life can be just as petty, can be just as silly, and we get caught up in it. That's who we are deep down and who Christ wants to change us from. Can I say it that way? No. But anyways, envy. I looked, how do you define it? I looked in the Hebrew and Greek lexicon. We'll look at those a bit. But first of all, I went to Webster's dictionary. What does it say? Second definition is painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another. So somebody else has an advantage, whatever it is, and I resent that. It's painful to me to think they have that advantage, something I want. And not only that, it's joined with a desire to possess that same advantage. I want that. And it's interesting, the number one definition said was obsolete, but it's malice. Malice. And that's what we find, that envy quickly turns to hatred or hard feelings or more than just feelings, action, inappropriate action toward that other person. Envy. In Hebrew, there's really one main Hebrew word that's translated for envy, translated envy, but actually it's this same word is used like over 88 times, but most of the time in English versions, in King James or Holman Christian Standard or English Standard Version or other versions, it's mainly translated other ways. First of all, according to the Theological Dictionary of the Old Testament, it says, think of zeal as the original word, zeal. So this passionate feeling about something. It's not just, oh yeah, kind of like that. No, it's a desire. It's passion. And sometimes it's actually, that word is translated passion in the Old Testament. So zeal, first of all, and it's translated zeal many times. This Hebrew word is translated zeal in the Old Testament. So if you're taking notes, I forgot. If you're taking some notes on the back of the bulletin, did anybody not get a bulletin and you would like that? We can help you with bulletin envy. We can give you a bulletin. So just take some notes. Anyways, three main words in the Old Testament. Zeal, it's how it's translated. And so zeal for another's property or position becomes envy. And so it's translated envy many places in the Old Testament. So zeal, envy. But then zeal for your own property or your own position becomes jealousy. Jealousy. And so actually this word is translated, this Hebrew word is translated jealousy more times than either the other two put together, zeal or envy. So jealousy. Now the thing is that we tend to think that everything is mine. It's all supposed to be mine, right? So that's why you see a blurring. And a lot of the translations, one translates it one way and another translates it with another word. You know, so zeal, envy, jealousy, usually envy and jealousy, used interchangeably. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. We're going to just look at a few different ones real quick. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. A tranquil heart is life to the body, or health, life to the body. But jealousy, or your version may say envy, Again, you know, it's translated either way. But envy is rottenness to the bones. It will eat you up from the inside. Envy, jealousy, desiring something that is your, is somebody else's, or you want to protect what you think is yours. Envy. Flip over to Proverbs 27, verse 4. Proverbs 27, verse 4. This is the same word found here. Fury is cruel, and anger is a flood, but who can withstand jealousy? That's the same word. So, jealousy or envy. Who can withstand jealousy? Sometimes somebody gets angry at something, and you can talk them out of it. You can buy them off or whatever. You can make up for it somehow. But sometimes people are just crazy. They just are so enraged because of their desire for something, or they think you have in some way impinged on their, you know, you've hurt their character or whatever. You've dissed them. Envy. What you've done is you've taken what they want, their good position or their good esteem in somebody else's mind. We see this all through the scripture. Think of Jacob, who fell in love with Rachel and wanted to marry her, and okay, he got permission, and so he worked 7 years, and what does his father-in-law do? He slips in her older sister, Leah. And after the wedding night, he realized, oh no, the wrong lady. And father says, all right, no big deal. We'll give you, for another 7 years, we'll give you Rachel as well. So Jacob ends up with two wives, didn't want it. And it says God noticed that Rachel was loved and Leah was unloved. And so what does God do? He lets Leah have children. So Leah ends up having sons, and like, me, I'm giving you sons. I have given you sons. And Rachel, of course, notices. And it says that she was envious of her sister. She goes to Jacob and says, give me sons or I'll die. Envy can eat us up. We see it with their children. We see it with Joseph. And Joseph was his favorite, his father's favorite, I'm sorry, because finally God gave children to Rachel, gave a son, Joseph, to Rachel. And so that was Jacob's favorite because it came from the wife that he wanted in the first place, right? And yet when he treated him specially, when he gave him things, his brothers, older brothers, were envious, and they hated him, and that led to violent actions. In Greek, the word we find, two different words for translated envy. The first is zealous. So it's pretty straightforward. Zeal, that passion, that at times, it's a good thing. And we can be zealous for God. And actually, I didn't mention this, but in the Old Testament, that same word translated envy or zeal or jealousy sometimes refers to God. God is a jealous God. So there's times when that word at least refers to proper attitude, but there's most times when it refers to mankind when it's not proper. So you have zeal. You also have another word that basically comes from a Greek word that means to pine or to waste away. It's defined as corrupt or as corrupting oneself because we want something else. Nothing else makes us happy. The ever-present urge to have what they're having. An unfriendly competition. That I have to be first. I have to come out on top. I have to have the position, the influence, and that leads to a motive to injure someone else, to take their position. Sometimes we want things just so bad, and sometimes we don't even fully understand. I remember this story, a time when Hannah was probably maybe 3 or 4. I didn't even realize she was listening. We were at our house, and we were talking to somebody I guess they were mentioning going to Swiss Chalet. And that's right. We're not gonna go. And she, after they left or whatever, she came to me and just tears running down. She said, "I wanted to go. I wanted to go to the Witch Ballet." And I said, "What? To the Witch Ballet? I wanted to go to the Witch Ballet." I said, "Oh no, Swiss Chalet." But whatever it was, she was just sure she wanted it. Isn't that like us? We think, "Oh, I gotta have this." And we don't even know. We want that promotion. We don't get it, and later sometimes we find the guy's pulling his hair out. And he's like, "This is crazy." And then you might realize, maybe I didn't want that. In the New Testament, we see this word envy coupled a lot with strife. Strife, because envy usually leads to strife. And you actually have a number of verses there, and we won't take time to look through all of them. But 1 Corinthians 3:3, and I put them there in the bulletin so that you could take a look at them, because we may not get to all of them. 1 Corinthians 3:3, he says, "Brothers," we'll start with verse 1. "Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I fed you milk, not solid food, because you were not yet able to receive it. In fact, you still are not able, because you are still fleshly. For since there is envy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and living like ordinary people? For whenever someone says, 'I'm with Paul,' and another, 'I'm with Apollos,' are you not typical men?" So here, even in the church, you see envy and the strife that comes from the envy and position. "Oh, well, I'm friend of Paul. He trained me. He baptized me," or whatever. And so you need to listen to me. So we see this over and over. Even it's also coupled with another word. Take a look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. It's coupled actually with a few different words very often. But chapter 5, verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy." Now, this version says jealousy. Your version may say envy. That's the word. Okay, so hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, drunkenness, factions. Oh, envy, sorry, no. That's the word, envy. I'll have to take a look at that again. And some add murders there. So all these violent actions towards someone else, this hurting someone else because you want their position of influence, their good thought, their good opinion in other people's minds. We see that over and over. Envy and murder. Envy and strife. You could actually even look at God's creation. God, when he created Adam and Eve and set them in the garden, I know we talked about this last week with saying, "Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil," and yet it was their pride that said, "Well, I want that position." And very similar to envy here. You could say it was envy that was the original sin. I want to be like God. I want to decide what is right for me. I want to know what is good and evil. I want to be able to decide that for myself. And then what do we see? After the fall, after God had to judge them, they went out, had a child, Cain, had another child, Abel. They grow up, and they start to sacrifice to God. Cain brings stuff that he grows, and Abel brings some of a lamb from his flock. And it says that God was pleased with Abel and his sacrifice, but not with Cain and his sacrifice. Now, we can talk a lot, and I wasn't prepared to explain all, you know, try to delve in. Rabbis and Christians have tried to see, you know, what John, why the difference. It's not just simply the blood sacrifice versus the vegetables or whatever produce of the earth. But John says that Cain killed his brother because his brother's actions were righteous and his own actions were evil. So the first murder in all of creation, two sons, and what happens? One kills the other for envy. Well, if I can't have God's approval, nobody's going to. And he kills his brother. God even said, look, if you do what's right, won't you be accepted? I mean, you don't have to be mad at your brother over this. And Cain didn't listen. He let that envy swell up in him, come out as murder against his brother. Notice what God says when he comes looking for Abel. Says Cain says, what? Am I my brother's keeper? The point is, yeah, you are. You are your brother's keeper. And that doesn't mean just don't murder him. I mean, obviously, it means that we need to do good for our brother. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4. This is another key passage on envy in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4. Solomon writing says, and this is, Ecclesiastes is an interesting book. It's a challenging book. It's definitely a book written in Solomon's melancholy, probably later in his life, it appears. And anyways, he says, I saw that all labor and all skillful work is due to a man's jealousy or envy, same Hebrew word, due to a man's envy of his friend. This too is futile in a pursuit of the wind. Some said capitalism. Is the whole system works on greed. And it doesn't have to, but probably more than we'd like to admit. How much of what we do, even in our labor or in developing our skillful work, how much of it is because we want to show that we can do it better than somebody else? We are envious of the praise of others. We want the position. We want the influence. Solomon, as he sat back and looked, and he was not real cheery at the time, as he wrote Ecclesiastes, he said, man, seems like everything people do, even their best work, is just because they're jealous of each other. They're envious of each other. That envy steals our joy and ruins our relationship. Leaves us miserable and alone. I found this quote, I'll just read. It says, and so it goes on as it does, I find less and less enjoyment and satisfaction in God's good gifts to me. And I'm more and more alienated from the people around me. I can't enjoy the things I've got, and I won't be thanking God for them anytime soon, because all I can see is the great list of things that he's forgotten to give to me. And so envy robs me of my joy, my satisfaction, my thankfulness, and my relationships, even my relationship with God. So, the antidote to this, the virtue that God wants to develop in our life, to replace envy. Number of different ways to put it, probably contentment might be one of the most important. Contentment. Learning to accept the position you have in life. We don't like to talk about that much in our Western individualistic society. Learning to accept the position that God has given us. The providence of God. The Puritans said 100, 200 years ago. Developing a tranquil life. As we already looked in Proverbs, tranquility. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy rots the bones. So, the antidote to envy is developing that tranquil heart, that tranquil life, that contentment. And we do that partly by developing thankfulness. Learning to thank God for what we have. It's easy to look at that ice cream that little girl's got and not like the flavor ice or whatever it is that I have. So stop looking at the ice cream. Start enjoying what you have. Contentment. We sang this song last week. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Verse 3. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content, whatever lot I see, still 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. My choice is to throw in my lot with God. I'm going to put my hand in his hand and accept whatever he's given me. I'm not going to despise what he's provided for me. The position, the influence, the people he's placed in my life. I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to learn to be content. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10, Paul's talking and he's giving a defense for his throughout the book of 1 Corinthians because of these factions that we read about earlier in the church. You know, people said, from Paul, I'm of Apollos. And so there were these warring factions. And after he had started the church, others came in and they were saying, well, he's just this new guy on the block. We're part of the old apostles, the original ones, the ones that actually saw Jesus and lived with Jesus. And so Paul has to say, okay, but God has given me a word to share with you, and you do need to listen to what he's taught you through me. And at one point, he finally says in chapter 15, verse 9 and 10, I'm the least of the apostles. I'll admit it. I'm the least of the apostles, but by God's grace, I am what I am. He was accepting the position that God had given him, and he said, I work harder than not me. It was God's work, or God who worked in me. But the point is, I've learned to work with what God has given me. Psalm chapter 16, just earlier in the psalm that we read earlier, at the beginning of the service, it says, protect me, God, for I take refuge in you. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good beside you. I'm not looking for anything else. What you are, who you are, that's what I have. I have no good beside you. As for the holy ones who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. I rejoice in those who are following God. I rejoice in them. The sorrows of those who take another god for themselves multiply. I will not pour out their drink offerings of blood. I will not speak their names with my lips. Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. You're learning to be content. You hold my future. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. He's saying, God, what you've given me, I'm going to rejoice in. I'm going to accept and be happy with and rejoice. So we need to focus on God's grace to us, how God has blessed us. God's grace, certainly in Jesus on the cross, dying in our place. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't begin to come up with a right standing with God ourselves. We can't overcome our own sin. God gave us the greatest thing. He gave us his Son, who died on the cross for us. Why do we envy anything else? David says, and you're it. You're my portion. That's all I really want in life, is you and what you have. So, the antidote for envy is contentment, to develop that in our lives. But also, what about those that we envy? How do we deal with our bad attitude toward them? Well, turn that around. Love. Love your brother. Because, see, love does what's best for the person loved. If I start with an envious thought toward this person that got the job I was supposed to get, if I start to love him and do what's good for him and encourage him and bless him and pray for him, God will change my heart. Say, God, I'm going to focus on what you've given me and enjoy that, and I'm going to bless others who have things that I would normally be envious of. Learn to invest my life in others. Help them. Instead of being, you know, a dog-eat-dog world and, you know, oh, he got it, let's see if he can do anything with it. No, I'm going to help him. That takes away the envious feeling toward him that I might have. Take a look at Romans 12:15. We'll close with this. Romans 12:15, as Paul is writing to the church in Rome and saying a bunch of different things about how to have relationships with each other, Christian ethics, love must be without hypocrisy, and he goes on and on, cling to what is good, share with the saints, bless those who persecute you. Notice what he says in verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Somebody have something that you would have liked to have? Rejoice with them. Say, you know, I am honestly happy for you. You got that promotion. You have this good position. You have what? I'm going to be happy for you. I'm not going to let that envy rot my bones. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Encourage them. Compliment them. Celebrate their successes. Invest in them. And God will take away that envy, that strife that would swell up within you. So, think of the last time that you were really upset with someone. Maybe somebody that you worked with, somebody that you knew, you were really mad at them. Ask yourself, was that because they had something I wanted? They had an influence, they had a position, they had... Or they threatened to take something that I wanted. We need to just ask God to forgive us of that envy. And we need to recognize that is a deadly sin. It will rot our bones. It will destroy us from the inside. It will rob us of the joy that God wants us to have. Confess that. Ask for forgiveness. And focus on enjoying what God has given you. The position, the influence, the whatever he's given you, develop a life of gratefulness, of praise to him. Join with me as we pray. Lord, we all sin in many ways. We all have been guilty of envy over and over and over. But Lord, we do not want to let that sin reign in our bodies. We don't want to let that sin pollute who you are making us in Christ Jesus. You want to transform our sinful nature and make us more and more like your Son, who, even though he knew it was for envy that the Pharisees handed him over to the Romans, he went ahead and did what is best for them and for each of us in allowing his life to be given on the cross for us. Lord Jesus, we want to learn to let you be our portion. Really not desire anything else in this world but what you have given to us. Develop in us that contentment that only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to conclude with the song, "We Choose the Fear of the Lord." We choose that walk with God, that right standing with him, over the things of this world, over the ways of this world, over the admiration of this world. We choose the fear of the Lord. If God is speaking to you about a decision you need to make public, we ask you to share that with us. Maybe you need to ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior for the first time. This is a time when you can do that privately, but you can share that with us, and we can share in your joy. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Let's stand as we sing. Let's pray together. Lord, we do choose to